All right, guys, welcome back. It's been a while. All right, so this is going to be my new podcast format. I am Some Dumb Gaijin, and this is the Some Dumb Gaijin podcast. Welcome, yokoso. All right, so since this is the first podcast I've done in a while, there's a lot to catch up on. So there's a bunch of stuff that I wanted to get out just right done down first. And the first part that I want to do is basically talking about in the news that there is this big thing in Japan that everyone's going crazy, and that is the Nike commercial talking about Japanese people that are like half, or people that are, I believe it's mostly half, right? It doesn't really go over the people that like moved from Brazil or other countries to come to Japan and have a little bit of racism put onto them. But basically, the commercial is a Nike commercial, and it's talking about people that are half in Japan and how that they have to go through this struggle, they face bullying and all this stuff. And basically, I saw this on the news, and then I kind of clicked on the YouTube video, and I just saw that it is flooded, so many dislikes by probably Japanese people that don't want to admit it, but you know what? There is a lot of racism to people that are half or from another country that grew up in Japan. So I think I talked about it on one of my other videos before, and you can check that out somewhere in there on YouTube about just basically when I worked at a Yankee junior high school, there was a lot of half children, and there was a lot of like children that came from Africa or Brazil that are not even Japanese at all, but their family moved to work here in Japan. And yeah, I saw the bullying firsthand. Long story short, one of the African boys, his brother, committed suicide while in elementary school in Japan because of bullying. And then, so many people made fun of this poor African boy at my school. So much that, like, me being the only foreign teacher was, like, his only friend. And he would come to me during his breaks. He would come to me all the time he could. And, I mean, I knew what it felt like to not know Japanese and to struggle in Japan. So I really related with that African boy, and when I heard that his little brother died, man, everyone treated him so much different than how they were treating him before, and you can just imagine how pissed off and hurt that boy must have felt, and just like, oh yeah, now I need your pity. But even me, man, he'd come to me and he'd talk to me and stuff, and I didn't know what to say, man. That kid was going through hell, really. The whole family must have been in shock. But anyways, so I kind of didn't watch the video. I wanted to watch it and let you guys know right after I watched it to get like more of an honest opinion. And because it is copyright, I am going to just put my earphones in and listen to it. And then if any of you want to watch it with me, or watch it with me, Japanese people watch it with me. Foreigners won't watch it with me. But anyways, I'm going to watch it with my earphones in so it doesn't get picked up on the audio version of this podcast and me get a copyright or whatever, hell. But on the video part on YouTube, I will upload it with audio, I think. Because it's easier to edit on that. So, excuse me, it's 2 minutes, I'm going to check it out now. It's called The Future Isn't Waiting, Nike. And yeah, let's go. So right away you see a half boy playing soccer, kicking it around against a wall. This girl is like, what am I? Oh yeah, it has English subs too, doesn't it? Yeah, there is. That's awesome by Nike. Yeah, am I good enough? Am I normal enough? Oh, and it's a Korean boy as well, not a half, I think. He's full Korean, and full Koreans have a hard time in Japan. And yeah, are you Japanese? People ask him. A lot of, yeah, I don't know. Oh man, I get goosebumps watching this, it's crazy. So, I mean, foreigners, we feel this way too, but halves too. It's really like this. Wow. Very deep video by Nike. So it's really cool. It shows that hardship and then it shows them kind of overcoming that with sports, really. Boom. But we won't be waiting around for that. It says, "You can't stop sports," and it's crossed out and it says, "Us." Yeah, I can see why Japanese are mad at that, but at the same time, it's 100% hardcore truth. That's how it is. And anyone that knows when life is hard or troubled, that sports is basically the only way that, well, is one of the ways that you can get out of it. Sports or any art style, really. I mean, comedy for me right now is helping me through Corona, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But sports has always been there to help people with the problems of life or to escape, how to say, like, it's not escape, avoid, like, really bad things, like drugs, for example. I was such a, like, crowd pleaser when I was a kid. Like, I wanted to appease everybody. And drugs were really bad where I grew up in Canada. And I think half, 99% of my friends almost end up being drug addicts. But when I was 7 or something, I got into karate, and that kept me so straight. I didn't even think of girls till I was like 20. I was so like on this road of, this is my life, this is the way, to quote The Mandalorian there. So I think that video is really accurate, and I think it's really beautiful, and I think it's kind of a message of hope. Now, where Japanese people are arguing on this, I saw the comment section even before seeing the video, and they're talking about, like, oh, what about American halves? You're only showing Asians. And it's like, it's in there. I mean, American halves or white and Japanese mix, they do get the trouble. They do get bullied as well. And then, weirdly enough, when they turn into high school, they become the most beautiful Japanese ever. Then everyone loves them. But this problem of being half and being discriminated against in Japan goes back deep. And it is something that should be talked about, and it is something that should be brought up. And when people say, oh, well, who is Nike, a sports company, to tell us this? Well, guess what? They put it out there, they raise the issue, and here we are talking about it. That's an amazing, amazing gift that Nike had for that. And not only that, but, I think that it is still about sports in there. It is about how sports help people and help to make, like, help people get over this thing, which I think is just a great message, and I think they did it well. So all you people bitching, fuck you guys. Like, seriously though, fuck you guys. So I mean, it's kind of half and half now on YouTube. Actually, let's check it out right now, because I was checking it out YouTube, just like how many thumbs down. It's 81K up and 60K down right now, so almost half. So basically, half the people disagree with it, and I'm guessing that's mostly Japanese. What do you all think? I mean, I'd like to hear Japanese people's views on it. You heard mine. I think it's great. I think it's accurate, and I think that Nike has every right to do it, since it is about how sports helps people's lives. Whether it was Yamaha did it and they were talking about music, or whether it was Matsumoto Hitoshi or someone doing it and talking about how it's comedy that saves lives. Because I've done manzai, I've done Japanese owarai, and I know for a fact that if there wasn't Japanese comedy to do every weekend for Japanese, that a lot of those Japanese probably would have done suicide too, because comedy is a way for comedians to get out all this stress and feeling, and it's just a good release. Just like playing guitar. I play guitar too. I do everything, man. It cleanses the soul, to say, I guess. All right, and then the other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, this is mostly for the foreigners in my audience, and that's how Corona is in Japan. So everyone's all, oof. all the foreigners are just saying like, oh, the numbers are crazy. It doesn't add up. That's 10%. And people look on the numbers and say like, oh, it's so low. But realistically, it's like 1,000 out of 3,000. So it's like 1/3 of people are getting infected and 1/3 are all fucked up. So it's really bad. It's really bad. But at the same time, we're not locked down. So we do have a little bit more freedom. A lot of people are going to bars still. A lot of foreigners are going and drinking without masks. A lot of people are running on the train without masks. We also have a fucking... Oh, sorry. It's really dry in my house today. My throat is dying. We also have a fucking Japanese group that's an anti-maskers that come to Shibuya in the one of the biggest gathering places in Japan without mask, with signs saying Corona is a lie. Now, I'm not Japanese, as you can tell. But once Corona hit and my favorite comedian Shimura Ken died of Corona, I was like, I'm taking this shit real out of respect for one of the greatest comedians and entertainers in Japan. And to me, when I see Japanese people out there without a mask and saying it's a lie, I find that really disrespectful to Shimura Ken and all the people in the hospitals and all the people suffering around the world. Maybe it's not killing everyone. Maybe it's only for old people. Maybe it's like youth people that are young can get over it real quick. But it doesn't end the fact that what happened happened, and you know, you gotta just be considerate to others. A lot of people say, you know, we should have followed Japan's lead and wore the masks all around the country, blah, 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 blah. Well, Japan has been doing that for years. The masks are a huge part of Japanese culture, which is basically not to prevent you from getting sick, but if you are sick, so that when you're coughing and sneezing, you're not spreading your germs all over people all over the world. Or all over Japan. And it is a really cool part of Japanese culture. And yeah, I really do respect that. And if I go back to Canada, I'm going to wear a mask when I'm sick. It's just, it's polite. It's like washing your hands after you go to the bathroom. Anyone that doesn't do that too is kind of, But as an entertainer in Japan and getting back into stand-up comedy, as you've seen with my last video, I am really, really loving the fact that I'm able to perform in Japan and continue my stand-up. Because as we know in America and Canada, where stand-up is huge, in England too, where everyone is doing stand-up comedy, there's a load of good stand-up comedians. No one can do it right now. And going back to what we talked about before, stand-up comedy is this release for comedians, and it is their life and their livelihood and their stress relief and all that stuff. So not being able to do stand-up comedy is driving people insane right now. I can only imagine. And although it is Corona right now and it is harsh and I shouldn't go outside either, it's not like it's 50 people in one small box. It's like 20 people in one small box, which is just as bad, but still. It's my way of just saying, you know, I gotta get out of the house. And so far, I'm good. I don't think I have Corona. One guy, though, did have Corona. So, gotta be careful of that. But he said that he's fine now. But point is, Japan, we can still do stand-up comedy. It's not 5 times a day, 5 days a week, like in the West, which is awesome. But we're getting there. It's 3 or 4 times a week, which is still good. I can still practice my new material, clean it up, and write it, and just get it out there. And with Corona and loss of my jobs, here I am doing podcasts and YouTube videos. So I'm staying creative, I'm staying on track, I'm improving myself, and somehow one day I'm going to get with Bill Burr and get on The Mandalorian, maybe. That is a dream! And I just watched the newest Mandalorian episode with Akasan, so if you haven't seen that, go on to Akasan's channel. We do a Mandalorian reaction. And I think when I have my buddies with me, I'm a lot more funny than by myself, maybe. But I mean, we're talking about Corona and Nike commercials, so it's all serious today, right? But so Mandalorian and Bill Burr is coming back. We just watched season 2, episode 6, I believe, and Bill Burr is on there, and he is coming back, and I love it. Because, there's nothing better than have a comedian come on to an acting show, or an acting show, a movie or a drama, and just kill it. So I was listening to the Bill Burr talk about the Bill Burr. As you can see, like, living in Japan, my English is getting crap. I'm worried that's going to brush off on my stand-up. What to do? Turn into the Keanu Reeves voice there for a second. What was I talking about? Yeah, so Bill Burr in The Mandalorian was crazy, and I was listening to Bill Burr talk about that, and he was just like, yeah, you know, I always tease people about Star Wars. I thought it was a nutty show, and what was it? I met this guy, and he asked me if I wanted to be in it, and then I got into it, and then he got his role in The Mandalorian, and then after he started finished, he went and called up a buddy who, like, was his rival, and he hated him or something. And he's like, guess what? I just got done fucking filming. And he's like, no. And he's like, yeah, and I met George Lucas. And he's like, you mother, and then he just clicked and hung up on him. Ah, Bill Burr, man. He's one fucking crazy, amazing guy. And I love that story, but it always blows my mind. Like, Jim Carrey, Bill Burr, Dan Aykroyd, or not Dan Aykroyd. Oh, yeah, Dan Aykroyd? I don't know. But all these amazing comedians, they don't have any acting experience but the stage. And because they're comedians and they get on the stage, it just opens up all these opportunities. It opens the floodgate. It opens the kraken. And I'm a firm believer in that too, because acting school, acting, all that, I mean, it's great and all, but if you're a comedian, you're on the stage and you do your stuff and you're naked, you're bare, man. Everyone's judging you. It is one of the hardest things to do in the world. And once you start doing that and you get in your rhythm and you find your, like your it, your groove, your style of comedy in that, then all of a sudden you become a character. You become like acting. Your mind works in a weird, amazing way. And to be honest, I'm still in the process. I mean, I've been doing it for like over 8 years now, combination of 4 years in Japanese comedy and like 4 years in English split up. Because when I first came to Tokyo, I didn't like the scene, really. And when I did my first stand-up in Tokyo, one guy came up. It was about, like, an ex-girlfriend that was crazy. And I compared her, like, the Terminator, and she hunted me down. A really crazy story. Maybe I'll upload that sometime soon, too. But after that, one of the senior comedians came up to me. He goes, yeah, JJ, you shouldn't do your material on your ex-girlfriends. Because some people might think that she's very, how to say, like, sad, and you're the mean one. And I was like, dude, motherfucking, people were laughing. And that was like my first time in a long time doing stand-up, first time in Tokyo doing it in front of 40 people, and people were laughing. I didn't bail a bomb, I didn't fuck up. I'm trying to remember, I can swear on this, this is my podcast. I didn't fuck up. And, yeah, people were laughing, and this was a guy, like, with the headphones in his ear, studying his comedy before the show, and I don't even think he got more than, like, one or two laughs himself. And so I was like, fuck this, don't want to be in the Japanese stand-up scene. Got kicked that to the curb, and then got into Japanese comedy. And that was a road in itself. I should write a fucking book on it, it's so crazy. I searched by myself, trying to find a Japanese partner. I had an idea of what I wanted to do. And then I found him. And then it took like a year for him to give up his crappy material and try my idea. And then, like all comedy, you fail, you fail, you fail, and then you succeed. And that's what I did. The first couple ones I failed. It didn't seem like I could write Japanese comedy. It was very difficult. But I tried and I tried and I tried, and then one day it was like magic. I just was writing and I was like, oh, this is good. Oh, this is good. Oh my God, I got this down pat, and boom, I created like one of the greatest bits that I've ever created in Japan. And my partner did not believe in me. The first time that I failed, he was like, hey, now I'll write the rest. And I was like, well, that's kind of mean. I mean, yours failed too. He got me to do one bit I'm not ever going to show any of you. I have a video and it's never going to surface. And it was his sketch comedy. And he was like, oh, it'd be so funny if you were in a maid outfit. And I was like, no, that'd be pretty gay. And he's like, no, it'd be really funny. Then you do this, you do this. And it sucked. The minute I heard it, I was like, it's not funny, dude. But being the team player I was, I did it. And then it failed worse than any of mine. So bad. And then he's like, oh yeah, but you gotta do it again. And then it gets better. And I was like, dude, no. You're Japanese, and I don't think you understand Japanese comedy. But, yeah, I scrapped that one. We tried his other one's crap. I was like, give me a chance, give me a chance, give me a chance. I finally got my chance, and then I nailed it right in front of Sony Music Artists, which was, we were part of Sony Music. We were in the Sony Music agency in Japan, and they were, like, applauding. They were like, that's so great. And then my partner was like, oh, thank you. And I was like, what? No, I wrote that. And then at the end, we left, and he comes up to me and goes, why did you have to say that you wrote it? I was like, because I fucking did. anyways, yeah, a lot of crazy stories like that in the road to Japanese comedy. But my return back to stand-up has just been amazing. I'm loving it. And because a lot of the stuff with Corona going on, Japan wanting nuclear weapons again and being denied and still pushing for it. And a lot of the politics here, I'm kind of done with Japan, I almost feel. As shitty as that is, as sucky as that is to say, this is my second home and I don't want to give it up. But maybe it's time to go back to Canada. Maybe it's time to shoot high with the stand-up comedy. Maybe meet Bill Burr. Maybe meet the Mandalorian one day. And just get my hands into some other filth. The filthy world of stand-up comedy. Ah! Damn, that was like gold dust there. But yeah, so I'm planning my next moves. I'm deciding what to do. Maybe in April, then I'm going to move back to Canada maybe and pursue my dream of stand-up comedy. I mean, like, I started stand-up comedy in Canada, then I went to Japan, and then I go back and I just continue. Like, isn't that awesome? It's like a crazy journey of going back to one dream, going to a new dream, finishing that dream, going to another dream, realizing your real dream, and then just going all out for it. And then maybe just do a lot of comedy in Yuck Yucks in Vancouver, work my way up, and then move to Cali, Comedy Store, all that shit. But all that depends on Corona, and if Corona is going to be nice to me and let me do it. So we'll see. But I'm pretty excited about that, and I've been writing my English comedy bits, and it's just going so damn well. And for any of you that are pursuing stand-up comedy, man, just my advice, or Japanese comedy, is study, 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 study. We're in a wonderful time, man, where we have the access to the internet. We have other comedians talking about comedy. You just soak it all up with a sponge. I think the way that I started to write stand-up comedy at first was just writing long paragraphs, and it just didn't work for me. And then I moved to writing on the computer, and then I moved to point form, and then I moved to writing it out essay style, and then doing point form when I actually perform. And I think I found my way now. And that was a combination of listening to Joe Rogan, Louis C.K., Bill Burr, and a lot of the comedians I love and admire, and just seeing their writing process, and then relating it to mine and how which ones I feel is best, and picking apart. And yeah, in the old days, like Richard Pryor and that, it's all like talking to people and then memorizing or writing down on a notepad. But now we can just get all that information in so much quicker. We're like cyborgs, basically. Actually, that's a fucking amazing analogy someone told me, too. It's like, what was it? They were saying because we have our cell phone and we're looking at the data all the time, we're basically cyborgs. Because it's attached to our arm, it's mechanical, and it allows us to process data more. And that really hit to me because I was like, damn, you know what? We pretty much are cyborgs. Do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do, RoboCop, man. We're all RoboCops. But anyways, yeah, I was going to do an hour. I was going to shoot for like a Bill Burr, Joe Rogan style hour. But I don't think I can rag on like Bill Burr, and I'm not famous enough for you guys to give two shits. So we're going to end it there today, I think. And that's pretty much a lot of the news I wanted to get out. And then you know what? If you guys like it, subscribe, comment, tell me, yeah, JJ, fuck the other shit you're doing. This is the shit we want to fucking hear. You're the man. You're going to be the next top comedian. You're going to be the next top model. Fuck that shit. And yeah, this is going to be on Spotify. It's going to be on Apple iTunes. I'm going to spread all my DNA, my podcast DNA, all out there. to sizzle a bit. And yeah, hopefully we climb the ranks, the JJ Army grows, and I can bring you guys more crazy comedy videos on YouTube as long as this new Some Dumb Gaijin podcast. And I really love the name too. I thought of it. I was like, no one else has it. And we all are Some Dumb Gaijin in Japan. And maybe I'm the dumbest. But I embrace it. Embrace it. Because Japanese are racist. I'm just joking. I love you all. And thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, honna mata na. Peace, peace.